Deep Thinking. This program is based on the works of Harun Yahya. Have you ever thought about the fact that you didn't exist before you were conceived, and then born into the world, and that you have come into existence from mere nothingness? Have you ever thought about how the flowers you see in your living room every day come out of pitch-black muddy soil with fragrant smells and are as colorful as they are? Have you ever thought about how the peels of fruit such as bananas, watermelons, and oranges serve as wrappings of high quality, and how the fruits are packed in these wrappings so that they maintain their taste and fragrance? Have you ever thought of how your life passes away very quickly, and that you will grow old and become weak, and slowly lose your beauty, health, and strength? Have you ever thought about how one day you will find the angels of death appointed by Allah before you, and that you will then leave this world? Well, have you ever thought about why people are so attached to a world from which they will soon depart, when what they basically need is to strive for the hereafter? Have you ever thought about these things? Man is a being whom Allah furnishes with the faculty of thought. Yet, most people don't use this very important faculty as they should. In fact, some people almost never think. In truth, each person possesses a capacity for thought of which even he himself is unaware. Once man begins to use this capacity, facts that he has not been able to realize until that very moment begin to be uncovered for him. The deeper he goes in reflection, the more his capacity to think improves, and this is possible for everyone. One just has to realize that one needs to reflect and then to strive hard. The purpose of this program is to invite people to think as they should, and show ways of thinking as they should. Someone who doesn't think will remain totally distant from truths and lead his life in self-deception and error. As a result, he won't grasp the purpose of the creation of the world, and the reason for his existence on the earth. Yet, Allah has created everything with a purpose. This fact is stated in the Quran in Surah Dukhan, verse 38 and 39 as follows. We did not create the heavens and the earth and everything between them as a game. We did not create them except with truth, but most of them do not know it. Therefore, each person needs to ponder the purpose of creation, first as it concerns him himself, and then as it pertains to everything he sees in the universe and every event he experiences throughout his life. Someone who doesn't think will understand the facts only after he dies, when he gives account before Allah, but then it will be too late. Allah says in the Quran that on the day of account, everybody will think and see the truth. That day hell is produced. That day man will remember. But how will the remembrance help him? He will say, if only I had prepared in advance for this life of mine. Surah 89, verse 23-24. Allah has summoned all people, through his prophets and books, to reflect on their creation and on the creation of the universe. While Allah has given us a chance in the life of this world to reflect and derive conclusions from our reflections, to see the truth will bring us great gain in our life in the hereafter. It is stated in Surah Rum, verse 8 as follows. Have they not reflected within themselves? Allah did not create the heavens and the earth and everything between them except with truth and for a fixed term. Yet many people reject the meeting with their Lord. Most people think that in order to think deeply, one needs to withdraw to an empty room and isolate oneself from all other people and affairs. Indeed, they make such a big thing of thinking deeply that they find it difficult and conclude that it is a quality exclusive to philosophers. However, Allah summons people to reflect in Surah Sa'd, verse 29. He informs that He has revealed the Quran for people to reflect on it. It is a book we have sent down to you full of blessing, so let people of intelligence ponder its signs and take heed. What is important is one sincerely improving one's ability to think and going deeper in thinking. People who don't spend effort to that end continue their lives in deep heedlessness. The word heedlessness has connotations like neglectfulness, without forgetting, abandoning, being mistaken, disregarding, being careless. The heedless state of those who don't reflect is a consequence of forgetting or deliberately disregarding the purpose of their creation and of the realities which religion teaches. Yet, this is an extremely dangerous course that may lead to hell. Correspondingly, in Surah Maryam, verse 39, Allah has warned people against being among the heedless. Warn them of the day of bitter regret, when the affair will be resolved, but they take no notice, and they do not believe. One of the most important effects of thinking is that it removes the spell on people. In the Quran, Allah asked people, "So how have you been bewitched?" The word bewitched in the verse implies a state of mental numbness that takes control of people as a whole. An unthinking person's mind is benumbed. His sight becomes fuzzy. He acts as if he doesn't see the facts before his eyes, and his faculty of judgment weakens. He becomes incapable of grasping even a plain truth. He can't be fully conscious of extraordinary events taking place right beside him. We can explain one of the outcomes of this collective spell with an example. Beneath the Earth's surface lies a boiling stratum called magma. The crust of the Earth is very thin, which implies that this blaze is very close to us, almost under our feet. In order to have a better understanding of how thin the Earth's crust is, we can make a comparison. The thickness of the Earth's crust in proportion to the whole Earth can be compared to the thickness of apple peel in proportion to the whole apple. Everyone knows that there is a stratum boiling at very high temperatures right beneath the Earth's surface, but doesn't think much about it, because no one around them thinks about it. Their parents, brothers, the journalists of the newspapers they read, TV program producers, and their university professors don't think about it either. Let's try to make you think this over a little. Let's assume that a person, having lost his memory, tries to learn about his surroundings by asking questions of everyone around him. This person would first ask where he is. What would he think if he was told that beneath the ground he stands on a globe of boiling fire, and that these flames could gush out of the Earth's surface in the events of a strong earthquake or a volcanic eruption? Let's go further and suppose that this person was told that this world is simply a small planet and it floats in an infinite dark void called space. Let's think that he was also told that space contains even greater dangers than the substratum of the Earth. For example, meteors weighing tons freely moving around it. There is no reason why they should not alter their courses and collide with the Earth. Surely that person would not be able to forget, even for a moment, the risky situation he's in. He would investigate how people lead their lives in such an environment to which they hang on by the skin of their teeth. He would realize that a flawless system has been brought into being. The inside of the planet on which he lives contains great danger. Yet, very delicate balances prevent this danger from harming people, except in unusual circumstances. The person who realizes this understands that the earth and all creatures on it live and continue their existence in safety only by the will of Allah, owing to the flawless balance He has created. This example is only one of millions, even billions of examples upon which people need to ponder. Giving another example would be useful to help us understand how heedlessness affects people's faculty of thought and restrains their intellectual capacity. People know that the life of this world passes away and ends very rapidly, yet still, they behave as if they will never leave this world. They act as if there is no death in the world. This indeed is a kind of spell carried over from generation to generation. This has such a strong effect that when someone talks about death, people immediately close the subject for fear of breaking the spell on them and facing the realities. People who have spent their entire lives in order to buy fine houses, summer residences, and cars, and to send their children to good colleges, don't want to think that one day they will die, and that they won't be able to take their cars, their houses, or children with them. Consequently, rather than beginning to do something for the real life after death, they choose not to think. However, everyone, sooner or later, will definitely die. And after one dies, whether one believes it or not, the eternal life will begin for everyone. Whether this eternal life will be spent in paradise or in hell depends on what one has done in the short life of this world. While such is the plain truth, the only reason why people behave as if death doesn't exist is this spell that has covered them up because they don't think. Those who cannot, by thinking, save themselves from this spell and therefore from a heedless state, will understand the facts by seeing them with their eyes after they die. Allah communicates this fact in the Quran. You were heedless of this, so we have stripped you of your covering, and today your sight is sharp. Surah 50, verse 22. As Allah says in the verse, the sight, which here is blurred because of not thinking, will be sharp at the time when the person gives account in the hereafter after death. It should be pointed out that people deliberately impose on themselves such a spell. They suppose that by doing so, they will live restful and relaxed lives. However, it is very easy for anyone to make a decision and shake off this mental numbness and begin to live with a clear consciousness. Allah has presented the solution to people. People who reflect can dispel this enchantment while they are in the world. They thus come to understand that all events have a purpose and an inner meaning, and are able to see wisdom in the events that Allah creates at every instant. One can think at any time and anywhere. There is no time, place, or condition necessary for thought. Anyone may think while walking on the street, going to the office, driving a car, working at the computer, attending a friend's gathering, watching TV, or having lunch. While driving a car, for example, it is possible to see hundreds of people outdoors. He who looks at these people can think about many different things. It may come to his mind that the physical appearances of these hundreds of people are completely different, People share basically similar organs such as eyes, eyebrows, eyelashes, hands, arms, legs, mouths, and noses. It is astonishing that they all look so different from one another. Thinking a little further, one remembers the following. Allah has created billions of people over thousands of years, all different from one another. This certainly is a piece of evidence of what a superior and mighty creator Allah is. The person watching all these people rushing may be occupied by many different thoughts. At first glance, each one of these people seems a distinct individual. Every one of them has his own world, wishes, plans, ways of living, topics that make him happy or unhappy, and tastes. Yet, these differences are misleading. In general, every human being is born, grows up, goes to school, looks for a job, works, marries, has children, sends the children to school, marries them off, ages, becomes a grandmother or grandfather, and finally, passes away. Whether one lives in a neighborhood in Istanbul or in a Mexican city doesn't change anything at all. All of these people will definitely die one day. A century later, perhaps not even one of these people will be alive. The person who realizes all this carries on thinking and asks himself the following questions. Since all of us will die one day, why do everybody act as if they will never depart from this world? While a person whose death is certain ought to strive for his life after death, how is it that almost all people behave as if their lives in this world will never end? Such a person is one who thinks and reaches a very crucial conclusion from what he thinks. A great majority of people don't think about these issues. If they are suddenly asked, "What are you thinking at the moment?" it will be seen that they think extremely unnecessary things that won't be of much use to them. However, man is able to think meaningful, wise, and important subjects every moment from the time he wakes up until he sleeps, and derive conclusions from what he thinks. In the Quran, Allah informs us that in all circumstances the believers reflect and derive beneficial conclusions from their thinking. It is stated in Surah Al-Imran, verses 190 and 191 as follows. In the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day, there are signs for people with intelligence. Those who remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying on their sides and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth. Our Lord, you have not created this for nothing. Glory be to you, so safeguard us from the punishment of the fire. In addition to all these, in order for contemplation to benefit a person and lead him to the right conclusion, he should always think positively. For instance, a person who, seeing someone far more handsome than himself, feels inferior because of his physical inadequacy by thinking about the other person's good looks, or who becomes jealous of this person, is thinking a thought of which Allah does not approve. Yet, a person who aims to earn the approval of Allah considers the good looks of the other person as a manifestation of Allah's perfect creation. Since he looks at this person as a beauty Allah has created, he derives great pleasure from it. He asks Allah to enhance the beauty of this person in the hereafter. As for himself, he also asks Allah for true and eternal beauty in the hereafter. He realizes that man can never be perfect in this world, because the world has been created with imperfections as a part of the test. His craving for paradise increases. This is certainly only one example of sincere thought. Throughout life, man encounters many instances like this. He is tested to see whether he displays good manners and a way of thought with which Allah will be pleased. His being successful in the test and his contemplation bringing favor to him in the hereafter depend on his deriving lessons and warnings from the things on which he reflects. For this, it is imperative that one thinks truthfully continually. Allah points out this fact in the Quran as follows. It is He who shows you His signs and sends down provisions to you out of heaven. But none pay heed save those who turn unto Him repentant. Surah 40, verse 13. Certain things cross one's mind every moment of one's life. There is almost no moment, save at times of sleep, that the human mind is utterly blank. However, a great many of these are useless, futile, and unnecessary thoughts that are of no avail in one's hereafter, that lead nowhere, and serve one no good. If someone tries to remember what he thought during the day and notes it down, then looks over it at the end of the day, he would see how futile are most of his thoughts. Even if he were to find some of it useful, he would most likely be mistaken. Just as people waste time dealing with futile things in their daily lives, equally they spend time in vain carried away by futile thoughts. In Surah Muminun, verse 3, that reads, "Successful indeed are the believers who keep aloof from what is vain." Allah advises people to be strong-willed in this area. Surely this command of Allah holds true for people's thoughts as well. This is because thoughts, unless we control them consciously, continuously flow through our minds. One unconsciously jumps from one thought to another. While thinking about the shopping one will purchase on one's way home, all of a sudden one finds oneself thinking about the things a friend told one 2 years ago. This uncontrolled and useless thinking may go on uninterruptedly throughout the day. Yet, controlling thought is possible. Everyone possesses the ability to think things that will improve him, his faith, mind, courtesy, and his surroundings. When one fails to control one's thoughts and direct them towards achieving a good end, one may often feel apprehension or treat events that have not happened as if they have occurred and become led astray by grief, distress, worry, and fear. Someone who has a young person studying for a university exam, for example, may make up scenarios before the exam takes place of what might happen in the case that his child fails the exam. If in the future his son cannot find a good job and earn enough money, he won't be able to marry. Even if he marries, how will he be able to afford the expenses of a wedding? If he fails the exam, all the money spent on the preparatory courses will have been wasted and, moreover, he will be disgraced in the eyes of people. What if his best friend's son passes and his own son fails? These misapprehensions go on and on. The person's son, however, has not even taken the examination yet. Throughout his life, someone who is distant from the religion cannot resist such useless worries. There is surely a reason for it. In the Quran, it has been related that the reason why people cannot be relieved of useless anxieties is their lending ear to the whisperings of Satan. In Surah Nisa, verse 119, the promise of Satan. Most certainly I will lead them astray and excite in them vain desires, is stated, and people are warned about it. He who is occupied with futile anxieties, who forgets Allah and doesn't think clearly, is always open to the whisperings of Satan. In other words, if man, deceived by the life of the world, doesn't exercise his willpower and act conscientiously, and if he lets himself drift in the course of events, he comes completely under the control of Satan. One of the most crucial patterns of behavior of Satan is his giving people anxieties. Therefore, all misapprehensions, pessimism, and anxieties such as, "What will I do if such and such happens?" contrived in the mind are caused by the whisperings of Satan. Allah shows people the way to save themselves from this situation. In the Quran, Allah advises people that when an evil impulse from Satan provokes them, they should seek refuge in Allah and remember Him. This is stated in Surah Araf, verse 201-202. As for those who perform their duty, when they are bothered by visitors from Satan, they remember and immediately see clearly. But as for their brothers, the visitors lead them further into error, and they do not stop at that. Someone who reflects sees what is right, and someone who does not goes wherever Satan drags him. The important thing is to know that these thoughts will be of no use to the person, and will, on the contrary, hamper him from thinking the truth, reflecting on important matters, and therefore purifying the mind from these useless thoughts. Man can think properly only if he frees his mind from the futile thoughts. In this way, he keeps aloof from what is vain, as Allah commands in the Quran. There are many factors that hinder people from thinking. A single one, or a number, or all of them may detain a person from thinking and seeing the truth. In this respect, it is necessary that everyone identify the factors that affect them negatively and be rid of them. Otherwise, one cannot see the real face of the life of this world, and that might bring great loss in the hereafter. In the Quran, Allah tells us the situation of those people who are accustomed to think superficially. They know an outward aspect of the life of this world, but are heedless of the hereafter. Have they not reflected within themselves? Allah did not create the heavens and the earth and everything between them except with truth and for a fixed term. Yet many people reject the meeting with their Lord. Surah 30, verse 7-8. One of the issues that mislead people most is their belief that what the majority does is right. Man is usually inclined to accept what he is taught by the people around him, rather than finding the truth by thinking. He sees that things that seem odd to him at first sight are most of the time considered ordinary by people, and moreover, are not even noticed by them, and after a while, he too begins to become accustomed to them. For instance, a great part of the people in his circle does not acknowledge that they will die one day. They don't even let anyone talk about this topic in order not to remember death. Seeing this, the person looks around him and says, "Since everybody is like that, there must be nothing wrong with my behaving the same way," and begins to live without remembering death at all. If, however, the people around him had acted with fear of Allah and struggled with due struggle for the hereafter, most probably this person too would have changed his attitude. Or to give another example, on TVs and magazines, hundreds of news items of disasters, unfairness, injustice, oppression, suicide, homicide, theft and swindle are covered, and thousands of needy people are mentioned every day. Yet many people who read these news items turn the pages of the newspaper or switch the TV channels with inner calm. In general, people don't think why there are so many of these kind of news items, or what has to be done, and what kind of precautions have to be taken in order to stop them, or what they themselves can do about these problems. Neither do people around them think over those problems. Most people hold others responsible for these problems, employing such logic as, "Is it up to me to save the world?" Yet, thinking like this is not a benefit, but a loss for the person. Indolence is a factor that keeps the majority of people from thinking. Because of mental indolence, people do everything the way they have always seen and to which they are used. To give an example from our daily lives, when something needs repair, men use the methods they have been taught since their childhood. They are generally reluctant to practice a new method that might be more practical and efficient. Such people's styles of speech are also the same. The way an accountant speaks, for example, is just the same as all the other accountants he has seen in his life. Doctors, bankers, salesmen, people from all classes have particular styles of speech. They don't seek to find the most proper, the best, the most favorable way of thinking about it. They just imitate what they have heard. The solutions found to problems also reflect indolence in thinking. For example, the manager of a building brings to the building's garbage problem exactly the same solution as the one brought by previous managers. Or a mayor tries to solve the traffic problem by looking at what preceding mayors have done. In many cases, because of not thinking, he is unable to find new solutions. Certainly, the examples cited here are issues from which people suffer harm in their everyday lives. Yet there are subjects far more important than those which, if people fail to think about, may cause them to suffer great and eternal loss. The cause of this loss is one's failure to think about the purpose of existence in the world and disregarding the fact that death is unavoidable and that they will definitely meet the day of reckoning after death. In the Quran, Allah invites people to reflect upon these crucial matters. In Surah Hud, verses 21 through 24, it is stated, "Those are the people who have lost their own selves. What they invented has abandoned them. Without question, they will be the greatest losers in the hereafter. As for those who believe and do right actions and humble themselves before their Lord, they are the companions of the garden, remaining in it timelessly, forever. The likeness of the two groups is that of the blind and deaf, and the seeing and hearing. Are they the same as one another? So, will you not pay heed?" There is a conviction prevalent in society that deep thought is not good. People warn one another saying, "Don't think so much, you'll lose your mind." This is surely nothing but a superstition invented by people who are remote from religion. People should not avoid thinking, but thinking negatively or being carried away by exaggerated scruples and misapprehensions. Since those who don't have strong faith in Allah and the hereafter think without committing themselves to goodness, but instead negatively, then by their contemplation they achieve outcomes that are not entirely beneficial. They think, for example, that the life of this world is temporary, and that one day they will die, but this causes them to display great pessimism. This is because, conscientiously, they are aware that the life they pass without following the commands of Allah prepares a wretched end for them in the hereafter. Some, on the other hand, are pessimistic, because they believe that they will totally vanish after death. A wise person who believes in Allah and the hereafter draws completely different conclusions when he reflects on the fact that the life of this world is temporary. First of all, his realization that the world is temporary causes him to engage in zealous struggle for his real and eternal life in the hereafter. Since he knows that this life will sooner or later end, he does not become carried away by the ambition for worldly passions and interests. He is extremely resigned. Nothing in this temporary life annoys him. he always cherishes the hope of attaining an eternal and pleasant life. He also greatly enjoys worldly blessings and beauty. Allah has created the world incomplete and flawed in order to test people. The intelligent person thinks that if there is so much beauty, which is pleasing to man even in this incomplete and flawed world, then the beauty of paradise should be unimaginably more attractive. He hopes to see in the hereafter the originals of every beauty he views here, and he comprehends all of these by thinking deeply. Therefore, it would be a great loss to worry about, what if I become pessimistic by finally seeing the truth, and hence avoid thinking? For a person who always entertains hope by virtue of his faith in Allah, and who thinks positively, there is nothing that leads to pessimism. Most people think that they might be able to evade various responsibilities by avoiding thinking and setting their brain to work on certain issues. By doing so in the world, they succeed in holding themselves aloof from many subjects. One of the greatest ways in which people are deceived, however, is in their supposition that they can escape their responsibilities to their Lord by not thinking. This is the main reason why people don't think about death and life after death. If man thinks that he will die one day and remembers that there is an eternal life after death, he will necessarily have to strive strenuously for his life after death. He, however, deceives himself, supposing that he is saved from such responsibility when he does not think of the existence of the hereafter. This is a great self-deception. And if man does not attain the truth in this world by thinking, he will understand with death that there is no escape for him. In Surah Kaf, verses 19 to 20, it is said, "The stupor of death will come in truth." And it is said unto man, "That is what you were trying to evade. The trumpet is blown. That is the day of the threat." One of the greatest mistakes people make is their not thinking because of being swept away by the flow of daily life. The majority of people spend their whole lives in a rush. When they reach a certain age, they have to work and look after themselves and their families. They call this the struggle for life, and complain that they have no time for anything as they have to rush around in this struggle. In this so-called shortage of time, thinking is one of the things for which they cannot spare any time. Therefore, they are swept away wherever the flow of their daily lives takes them. In this way of life, they become insensitive to events taking place around them. The aim of man, however, should not be to consume time, rushing from one place to another. The main issue is to be able to see the real face of this world and assume the way of living accordingly. No one's sole purpose is earning money, going to work, studying at university, or purchasing a house. Surely, man may need to do those things in the course of his life. Yet, there is a subject that he should always bear in mind while doing them. The purpose of his existence in the world is to be a slave of Allah, to work for Allah's pleasure, His mercy, and paradise. All works other than this purpose can serve only as a means, helping man to attain his true purpose. Adopting the means to certain ends as the real purpose is a serious deception with which Satan misleads man. Someone who lives without thinking may easily take these means as his real purpose. We can cite an example from our daily lives. It is undoubtedly a good act for one to work and produce beneficial things for society. A person who believes in Allah performs such an act eagerly and expects a reward from Allah both in the world and in the hereafter. If a person, on the other hand, does the same thing without remembering Allah and only for worldly interests such as status and people's appreciation, he is making a mistake. He has made something which he should use as a means of earning the pleasure of Allah, his purpose. And he will regret this when he faces realities in the hereafter. In a verse, Allah refers to those who indulge in this manner in the life of this world as follows. Like those before you who had greater strength than you and more wealth than children, they enjoyed their portion. So enjoy your portion as those before you enjoyed theirs. You have plunged into defamation as they plunged into it. The actions of such people come to nothing in this world or the hereafter. They are the lost. Surah 9, verse 69. Each person is an independent individual responsible to Allah by himself alone. It is very important to bear in mind that Allah tests people in the life of this world. The indifference of others, there being people who don't think, reason, and see the truth, is, most of the time, a part of this test. A person who thinks sincerely does not say, "Most of the people don't reflect and are unaware of all these, so why should I alone think?" On the contrary, he takes warning by thinking about the heedlessness of those people, and takes refuge in Allah in order not to be one of them. It is clear that the situation of these people cannot be an excuse for him. For this reason, get rid of the reasons preventing you from thinking. Sincerely and honestly think over every event and creature that Allah creates and draw a lesson and warning from your reflections. Man has the ability to think every moment of his life. The scope of man's thought is so broad that it is almost not possible to put any constraints or limits on it. It should be borne in mind that only people who reflect can understand and assume a different position than others. The situation of those who cannot see the miraculous events around them and cannot reflect has been related in Surah Baqarah, verse 171, as follows. The likeness of those who disbelieve is that of someone who yells out to something which cannot hear. It is nothing but a cry and a call. Deaf, dumb, blind. They do not use their intellects. Those who are able to see Allah's signs, the miraculous aspects of the beings and events He creates, and who therefore can understand, are people who reflect. Such people can derive conclusions from everything, big or small, they see around them. A person believing in Allah would think about the things he meets during the day and draw lessons from the events he witnesses. He would thank and come closer to Allah by seeing His Lord's art and knowledge in everything. There is no need for special conditions for someone to start thinking. From the moment we wake up in the morning, plenty of opportunities for thought lie before us. A long day lies before us when we wake up in the morning. Most of the time, we don't feel tired or sleepless. We are ready to start everything over again. Thinking this, one remembers the verse of Allah. It is He who made the night a cloak for you and sleep a rest, and He made the day a time for rising. Surah 25, verse 47. Washing the face and taking a shower, we pull ourselves together and come more fully to our senses. Now we are ready to think on many useful issues. There are many concerns, much more important than what we will have for breakfast or what time we have to leave home, and we first have to think about them. First of all, our being able to wake up in the morning is a great miracle. Despite having lost consciousness entirely, in the morning we recover consciousness and our personalities. The heart beats, we are able to breathe, talk, and see. In fact, when we go to sleep, there is no guarantee that these favors will be returned to us in the morning. Nor have we met any disasters during the night. There are no problems with our bodies, and we have woken up safe and sound. Thinking on all of this, we thank Allah for His mercy and protection. Starting a new day in good health means Allah's giving us another chance to achieve more for the hereafter. Therefore, the best attitude to take is that we will spend our day in such a way as to please Allah. Man should, prior to everything else, make plans for this and keep his mind occupied with thoughts of that sort. The starting point for pleasing Allah is to ask Him for help about this matter. The prayer of the Prophet Suleiman sets a good example for the believers. My Lord, keep me thankful for the blessing You have bestowed on me and on my parents, and keep me acting rightly, pleasing You, and admit me by Your mercy among Your righteous slaves. Surah 27, verse 19. Realizing our incapacities as soon as we get out of our bed, we start to think. Every morning we definitely have to wash our face and brush our teeth. Seeing these, we start to think of our other weaknesses. For instance, that we have to take a bath every day. Can't stand sleeplessness, hunger, and thirst are all signs of our weakness. If a person looking in the mirror in the morning is aged, some other thoughts may come to mind. The first signs of aging start to appear in the face after the first two decades of life. In the 30s, wrinkles begin to appear beneath the eyes and around the mouth. The skin is no longer as ruddy as it used to be, and deterioration can be observed in a great part of the body. With age, the hair turns white, and even the hands age. For someone who thinks about these, old age is one of the most powerful events displaying the temporary nature of the life of this world, and it holds one back from being attached greedily to this world. Someone who starts to grow old understands that a countdown has started in his life in this world. In truth, that which ages and for which the countdown is now underway is the body. The body gradually declines, but the soul doesn't grow old. Most people are strongly influenced by the fact of their being good-looking or unattractive in their youth. In general, people who used to be good-looking are often arrogant, where people who used to be unattractive feel inferior and unhappy. Aging is an important sign that shows how temporary the body's beauty or ugliness is. Besides, it reminds us that the only thing that is acceptable before Allah are right actions, good qualities of character, along with commitment to Allah. Each time we face our weaknesses, we realize that the only being that is perfect and high exalted above imperfections is Allah, and that we glorify the greatness of Allah. Allah has created every weakness man possesses with a purpose. Some of these purposes are to help people not to be attached to the life of this world and not to go astray with their possessions. Someone who grasps these by thinking wants Allah to recreate him in the hereafter free from all these weaknesses. Our weaknesses remind us of another very important thought. While a rose growing up from the black soil smells perfectly clean, An unbearable smell emanates from us when we don't look after ourselves. This is something that arrogant and conceited people in particular have to think about, and from which they should take warning. Looking at the mirror in the morning, we may think about many things we haven't thought about before. For example, our eyelashes, eyebrows, bones, and teeth stop growing when they reach a certain length. However, hair doesn't stop growing. In other words, whereas those body parts, the growth of which will be disadvantageous and unsightly, stop growing, hair, the growth of which is aesthetically pleasing, keeps on growing. Besides that, there is perfect harmony in proportion in the growth of bones. For example, the bones of the upper human limbs don't grow unnecessarily long, leaving the body relatively undersized. Their growth comes to a halt just in time, as if each knows how long it should grow. Certainly, the things mentioned here come about as a result of certain physical reactions that take place in the body. Yet a man who reflects also wonders. How do these chemical reactions take place? Who placed just as much as is necessary of hormones and enzymes in the body, thus determining the growth of everything? And who controls the amounts and secretions of these? Doubtless, it is impossible to claim that all these have come into being by coincidence. It is impossible for the cells constituting man or the unconscious atoms constituting cells to take such decisions. It is evident that each one of these is the art of Allah, who creates us in the best form. Right after waking up and making ready in the morning, most people set out on the way to their offices, schools, or to settle some affairs outside in the world. For a believer, this short trip is the beginning of doing good deeds that will please Allah. As we leave home and go outside, we readily come across many subjects on which we ought to reflect. There are thousands of people, cars, trees, big and small, and countless details all around us. Here, the outlook of a believer is very clear. We think about the causes of events. The view we confront has come about within the knowledge of Allah and His will. Therefore, there should certainly be causes behind it. From the moment we wake up, we give thanks to Allah for having given us another day in this world to earn our reward with our Lord. Being aware of this, we think about Surah Naba, verse 11. We made the day for earning a living. In accordance with this verse, we make plans on how to spend the day in doing deeds that are useful to other people and with which Allah is pleased. When we reach our car or any other vehicle with these plans in mind, we again give thanks to Allah. No matter how far the destination, we have the means to get there. As a convenience, Allah has created many vehicles for people to use in travel. In particular, recent technological developments have introduced many new possibilities such as cars, trains, aeroplanes, ships, helicopters, buses. Pondering this, one remembers one more issue. It is Allah who put the technology at the service of mankind. Every day, scientists come up with new discoveries and innovations that facilitate our lives. They accomplish all these with the means that Allah creates on the earth. Someone who thinks carries on his trip by giving thanks to his Lord for putting these at his service. Heading towards our destination accompanied by such thoughts, a stack of rubbish, A foul odor, the confined, dingy places we see in between streets, brings various thoughts to our minds. In this world, Allah has created settings and sights by means of which we are able to visualize both paradise and hell, or guess, through comparison, how they will be. Stacks of rubbish, foul odors, confined, dingy, and dark places cause considerable distress to our souls. One never wants to be in such places. All these qualities remind one of hell, and anyone who meets such scenes remembers the verses about hell. Allah has depicted in many verses of the Quran the unpleasant sights, darkness, and filth of the hell. Remembering the verses of the Quran about hell, we pray to Allah for Him to protect us from the fury of hell, and we ask forgiveness for our mistakes. One who doesn't employ such modes of thought, on the other hand, spends his day grumbling, fussing, and looking for the offender in every incident. He will become furious at people who dump their garbage, and at the municipality that was late to collect it. He will busy his mind with many subjects throughout the day, such as holes in the road, those who block the traffic, and the unjust scolding he receives from his boss. These vain thoughts, however, are of no use to him in his afterlife. One might stop to think whether he should push so many things aside. Indeed, many people claim the real reason that keeps them from thinking is the struggle they have to carry on in this world. They say that they can't think because of problems such as food, accommodation, and health. This, however, is nothing but an excuse. One's responsibilities and the state one is in have nothing to do with one's thinking. Someone who tries to think to gain the pleasure of Allah will find Allah's help beside him. He will see that the issues that used to be a problem for him are solved one by one, and every passing day he will be able to spare more and more time to think. This is something understood and experienced only by believers. A person who rushes to his destination may suddenly run into a hearse. In fact, this is a very important opportunity for someone to pull himself together. The sight he meets reminds him of death. One day, he too will be in that hearse. There is no doubt about it. No matter how much he evades it, death will sooner or later find him. Whether in his bed, or on his way, or on vacation, he will certainly leave this world, for death is an unavoidable reality. At that instant, a believer remembers verses 57 through 59 of Surah An-Kabut. Every self will taste death, then you will be returned to us. As for those who believe and do right actions, we will lodge them in lofty chambers in the garden, with rivers flowing under them, remaining in them timelessly. Forever. How excellent is the reward of those who act, those who are steadfast and put their trust in their Lord. Certainly, the consideration that his own body will also be placed in a shroud, covered with soil by his kinsmen, his forename and surname carved on a gravestone, removes man's attachment to the world. Someone who sincerely and realistically thinks about this sees how senseless it is to lay claim to a body which one day is to decay in the earth. In his verses, Allah gives the glad tidings of paradise after death to those who are patient and put their trust in Allah. For this reason, believers thinking that they will die one day, try to live with the good character commanded by Allah to attain paradise. Every time they think about the closeness of death, their determination grows, and they try to adopt the highest values and increasingly develop them throughout their lives. On the other hand, those who give precedence to other thoughts and spend their lives in vain anxieties don't think that the same will definitely befall them one day, even when some of their loved ones die beside them. Deep thinking benefits man both in the world and in the hereafter. It separates man from other creatures. For this reason, encouraging people to think and helping them to see the purpose of their creation and honor Allah's endless knowledge and might is an important worship. The program you have been listening to was inspired by the works of Harum Yahya, the renowned author whose works on political, faith-related, and scientific issues have changed many people's outlook on life. All of his works are available online on his official homepage at www.harumyahya.com. Please keep tuning in to this channel for further episodes of this program.